Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 93. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
You're hot, then you're cold, then you're hot,
yeah.
You're cold.
Yes.
It's like the weather here.
It is.
The Sharks are playing like they are reflecting the weather.
It's raining tonight, the Sharks lose, sunny all week, the Sharks win. What in the world? Willard Scott, I blame you.
Oh, the season is going down the toilet, dude, and we're doomed.
We're doomed again. I wrote a post on the blog today about how the Sharks are in good position. Then they go out in Dallas tonight. I predict a win against Dallas. They go out against Dallas tonight.
And so it's your fault?
Could be.
It could be. I'm going to squarely blame you, dude.
Good.
Dude, what do you have to say about that?
It's a disappointing game. I mean, it was terrible. The second terrible. Well, they shut out Dallas last week. They lose 8-2 the week before. And then this week, they get worked again 5-1. So
it's not like we're the only good team folding like a tent right now.
That's true.
You can look a couple points behind us and see the Chicago Blackhawks have been doing the same act.
Although they won
this
tonight.
Last week. I mean, they did win tonight, but they've really been struggling as well. So if you're looking for good teams in the Western Conference that have an early point advantage, there are a few others that have either become disinterested or banged up or both. And Chicago and San Jose might kind of be lumped into that same category. Boy, you know, some bumps and bruises for both teams right now, dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have Vlasic out. We had Joe Thornton out. We had Ryan Clough leave in the second period, not to return.
Puck in the throat. You know what I say? Man up.
Yeah, just get out there anyway.
You don't need your throat to skate.
I don't need to breathe.
Needs to breathe?
I'm making air quotes. Breathe.
You don't need to eat the training meal of ribs in Dallas because you know that's what it is.
You could just get a McRib that has no bones in it.
Do you think that the training meals vary based on the regional cuisine?
I would kind of doubt it. I mean, don't they just have that like catered hotel food everywhere they go? It's like chicken and pasta or pasta and chicken.
See, I think it would be much more interesting like if they were in Dallas. If they had like ribs and brisket, you know, and there right. was some like cowboy in there, you know, stoking the barbecue. And then when they go to Colorado, it's like Rocky Mountain oysters and, you know,
yeah.
And then when they go to Nashville, it's all fried food.
Right.
You know,
fried catfish.
I got to say, that's probably not the, you know, when then they go to Boston, chowder. And then when you go to Edmonton, what's the cuisine up there? Ice?
Yeah, just whatever's cold. Cold cuts?
Ice cream? Cold cuts and ice cream.
Well, we're laughing here, but we're crying inside, dude, because that was a pretty bummer of a game to watch.
It was tough to watch, man, but I don't know. I guess I'm sort of at that point now where I'm ready for a week from Sunday to come around where we find out mm-hmm. who we're playing and what's going on, because this act of, you know, going streaking
right.
like Frank the Tank in
old school.
In old school, man, is getting old, and I would rather, you know, let's just get to the playoffs.
Yeah, let's get on with it.
We gotta get on with it. And there's a lot of interesting things happening in the Western Conference as far as playoff seeding, you know. Everything, you know, from the 5 to the 8 is just completely up for grabs. And even the 8 spot itself is a little bit questionable, as Calgary is currently leading Phoenix mm-hmm. tonight. And that would put them within 2 points. You look at who the Sharks have to play these next 5 games, dude. You know, they're going to Calgary. They're going to Colorado. Those are going to be really, really tough games.
Yeah, those teams are needing to play with everything they have in order to lock up a playoff spot, because it's likely that one of those two teams is going to be out when the music stops. And I think right now it's Calgary on the outside looking in, and Colorado's right there at in the 8th seed right now. So the Sharks would play Colorado if the season ended today. But that particular ordering is not at all certain.
No, not at all. So I guess as we're looking ahead this week, and I want to talk about the Dallas game just a little bit, but...
Do we have to?
Well, I think we need to talk about our good friend who we've been championing for, yeah. Championing, or how do you say that?
Championing is correct.
Championing?
Uh-huh.
Our good friend who we've been touting.
Right.
For most of the season, Jason Demers was, how you say, balls, yeah, with a Z tonight.
Yeah.
Not good. Two really, really horrible plays. Two bad plays by Patrick Marleau tonight. Really, really bad plays.
Hamburgers.
And hamburgers.
Not good.
A good game tonight.
Yeah.
But Demers, I think, was the most obvious, you know, in terms of his, yeah, two blunders led directly to goals.
Well, Marleau too, right?
Right. Marlo's so
first. Wasn't a good effort all in all. They seemed to get away with a lot of the stuff that they were started to do when they started winning again. The North-South game I talked about, they seemed to get away from that a little bit. Marleau made two between-the-legs blind passes, which, you know, I play rec league hockey, and you don't do that in rec league hockey. So, I mean, you got to be 100% sure that that pass is going to get received properly.
But four wins in a row, do you feel like they maybe got cocky?
It's possible. It's a mixture of that and not having Vlasic and Joe Thornton in the lineup, too.
But they played harder, mm-hmm, because of that on Sunday against Colorado. And, you know, they scored three of the ugliest goals,
yeah,
they've probably scored all year.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't even, you know, they were bouncing. It was like a pinball game out there. But, you know, hey, a goal's a goal.
That's right.
So why not put forward the same effort against a team in Dallas that just pasted you now twice,
yeah,
in Dallas? Embarrassing effort, just unsettling.
And Steve Ott with a hat trick. I mean, talk about insult to injury.
Speaking of Steve Ott,
must we?
I am still alive in the fantasy hockey playoffs. Dude.
I was just going to mention that.
It's the semifinals in both leagues, and as predicted, I won both my opening round games, and I'm in for a dogfight now. I think had the opportunity to pick up. Oh my gosh. Oh, I just gagged as I tried to say Steve Ott. It's such a horrible thing.
Even your body rebels.
I know. What happens when I try to say Chris Pro?
Well, you all right? Dude? You there? Dude?
Call an ambulance, dude. Try to say Chris Pronger.
Well, dude, I mean...
Dude, Steve Ott, I tried to pick him up. I didn't do it.
Yeah. And he gets a hat trick.
Oh, my God.
First of his career.
And penalties.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
So stupid. And a shorty.
Yeah. And a power play goal.
So Steve Ott could cost me,
yes,
in theory, not just a painful Wednesday evening, but also the fantasy semifinals. So thanks a lot, Steve.
Yep. Well, it looks like there were some upsets here in the first round of the first fantasy league. It looks like the Chichimahalik, who you pumped up a bit last week, dude, lost in the first round. The number two seed, which was San Francisco Seals, also lost. And you, as the number three seed in the Dudes on Hockey 1 league, are now the top seed and are leading the semifinal match.
All right.
Going on to the other league, you are Petrecki's man crush, the number one seed. And you're currently a little bit behind, but it's early yet in the week.
It's early, dude. It's early.
So we have the 1, 2, 3, and 5 seeds left in that league, which is a little bit more customary. And we have Country Club 40 Ounces leading the second semifinal over Semenov's Kids. So, and it's tough to see that San Jose Snotsicles is losing, because that's a pretty good name for a fantasy team.
Great name.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's real good.
Well, we'll see, dude. We'll give you the update next week when the championship round has begun.
Right.
Hopefully I will still be standing, because it's only right that you should have to beat the dude to win,
yes,
the Dudes on Hockey Championship.
It would be fitting.
Because you certainly...
Or one of the dudes. Because everybody else in the league beat me. God knows how many times.
You certainly haven't put up much of a fight, dude.
No, that's true.
With the Sharks kind of giving some guys some maintenance days here in this last week, with Blake being out, you know, for a maintenance day, you know, it seems like maybe Vlasic could have played today if it was a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a playoff game. I think I would have expected Thornton probably would have been, mm-hmm, in there too, just based on we've hearing he's been skating. So, dude.
We have an email to that.
Go for it.
From Evil Ducks. He says, dudes, I've seen a lot of people saying that this injury to Joe may be a blessing in disguise, as it forces him to rest up before the playoffs. Do you subscribe to this theory? I'm of the opinion that what appears to be knee injuries to your star players is never anything to look positively on 3 weeks before playoff start. So, good point. So this Joe thing, is it going to toughen up the rest of the Sharks and rest Joe for the playoffs, or is this just face value injury to star player equals bad?
I was kind of hoping it was going to be the former, just based on how they played in Colorado, but tonight might have exposed the reality is that, you know, they really do rely on Joe Thornton, especially on the power play. I mean, you said tonight, boy, we miss Joe on the power play. Mm-hmm. You really, really do. So I think the longer Joe's out, I have to lean towards the fire bad comment. Dude, what's your take?
Yeah, I was willing to put a happy face on this when it started because, you want to see what other players step up, right? That's a cliche in sports. So when good guys go down, you want to see who steps up and takes charge. And on Sunday night, it was Setoguchi with 2 goals, you know, gritty goals that maybe weren't entirely all due to skill, but certainly Seto was buzzing around the net quite a bit and was planting himself in the right spots. But Dave's right. I mean, you know, you don't want knee injuries to top players. We saw that last year. We don't want to see that again. But it sounds like it's not that serious. So my primary concern is sit him out until he's healthy. Let's not rush him back in. And if the let the Sharks struggle a little bit. It's not the worst thing in the world that they struggle. They got to figure out how to deal with some adversity because we know that they're going to deal with some in the playoffs.
Sure. Guys are going to go down in the playoffs. Guys are going to be playing banged up. You got to figure out how to, if you've got an injury, like, you know, was it 2 years ago that Marlowe was playing with?
It was last year. He played with a knee injury.
Right. So and all these playoff exits just blur together.
Yes, they certainly do.
I'm so sorry. And it affected his play, mm-hmm. and they weren't able to compensate for it. Mm-hmm. And so this year, if Joe is kind of at 80%, what are they going to do? Who's going to step up? Is Logan Couture going to be the one who's going to have to take the reins on some of these power play opportunities or scoring opportunities and fill in for him? But I guess my part two to this is, you know, with injury, that's not a good thing. But Blake being rested more as like he's old, let's rest him a day. Mm-hmm. Vlasic, I think, could have played today. Do you think anyone else is going to get one of these token maintenance days in the next 5 games?
Well, now that Klo got a little something hit, I could see Klo taking a game or two off just to make sure that he's all right. I don't see anybody else, I think, that's really banged up exactly. I mean, I guess you could say you could sit Boyle, but he seems to be playing fine. So it's not that he really needs a day off, but That's the situation. I'd like to see more Greiss. We saw Greiss in the third period tonight. He looked okay. Did he give up any goals?
No.
So, yeah, I'd want to see Greiss again. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about how, you know, Nabby's played too many games this year, and especially since with the Olympics, why would you want to play him even more in the playoffs and not give him some rest days? So, yeah, I mean, I might play Greiss in Calgary. I mean, seriously. I would seriously consider it because Nabby, it's not that Nabby looked awesome. Not that most of those goals were really his fault. A lot of those were sort of the tip-in variety, but still, Greiss certainly proved himself against Colorado. I thought he played very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm still waiting for that. You know, have you felt like Nabby's had that game yet where he's just stolen mm-hmm. a victory?
Not in a while. Not in a long while.
What about the shutout against Dallas?
It was a good game. But I think the Sharks played, that wasn't a steal. I mean, Nabby played well,
right.
But it wasn't just, oh, you know, top of the headline news, amazing, you know, lead off on SportsCenter, this guy stoned him.
Don't you think he's going to have to do one of those in the playoffs at some point?
Absolutely.
And we haven't quite seen that from him, at least in my recent memory. Listeners, if you can think of something this season where Nabby's just completely robbed a team and you know, pulled what Hiller did to us, mm-hmm. We'd love to hear it at questions@dudesonhockey.com because I think it's important that Nabokov's going to have that type of performance against any team that we play. If the team is struggling a little bit, can he step up and win a game or mm-hmm. even win a couple games?
Right.
If needed, dude. If mm-hmm. needed. Dude, I want to segue just really quickly.
Okay.
From talking about Nabokov, we've also got a pretty darn good goalie in the AHL in Alex Stalock.
That's right.
Who today was named to the all-AHL, all-rookie team.
Yeah.
Him and Logan Couture both. And ironically, Tyler Ennis, who would have been a Shark. He was traded, you know, assuming the Sharks would have drafted him there, right? It's just a big assumption. But he's the pick that went to Buffalo in the Brian Campbell trade.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got three Sharks, as I like to say, or just really two, you know, with Couture and Stalock. I can't remember the Sharks having that highly graded prospects, you know, down there in Worcester making an impact like that. Do you think it's possible that next year we're going to see Alex Stalock in San Jose?
I think it's possible, but you know, there's a long and storied histories of goaltenders that do well at minor league levels or junior levels, and they come to the NHL and they're just not great. And I think the Sharks are a pretty mature team in a lot of respects. They have a lot of, they have some high price players. Joe Thornton's going to make over $7 million next year. We have Danny Heatley and Dan Boyle making a lot of money. We're probably going to be signing Pavelski to some serious cash, maybe Setoguchi as well. So we got, you know, this is a team that's built to win. And I think if you're going to place the future, well, or the short term of the team, you know, the 1 year prospects of a team to a guy that's never played an NHL game, I find it difficult to believe that Doug Wilson is going to do that. I can't imagine that happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might see, if Nabby leaves, we could see a veteran goaltender come in, maybe, you know, a guy that's not at the top, not a Ryan Miller or a Nabokov, but we could see, I'm trying to think of a name that...
Dwayne Roloson?
Seriously. I mean, you know, somebody sort of like that.
Right.
Sort of a second-tier goaltender, and you give Alex Stalock the ability to win the job, but if he falters, you have somebody else that can step in that you say, hey, you know, this guy can do it. You know, someone great like Curtis McElhinney.
Let's not forget about Thomas Greiss either. I don't want to shortchange him, and, you know, we're certainly projecting far into the past here, but I think we can't ignore Alex Stalock as, you know, the offseason is, you know, hopefully won't be here that soon.
Mm-hmm.
But to see him win the AHL Rookie of the Year goalie honors, I think, is something that cannot be ignored by Sharks fans. And you know, this guy is a real deal player.
He's the big, and he can handle the workload, obviously. You know, that's a question you always have with college players because they don't play the kind of schedule that you play in the pro game.
Well, they've thrown it right at him.
Yeah, he started 37 games or more. No, he's won 37 games and started 50 or 60 games.
Yeah, he has 37 wins. He's played 56 of the 73 games.
That's a hefty
workout. Impressive. You know, he's top five in minutes played and shots effaced in saves. He was an all-star this year. They're definitely giving him, they gave him the look, you're playing every game that you can physically play to see if he can handle it. And he has responded, dude. He has responded.
So that's another question for the Sharks to answer in the offseason. I'm sure we won't hear a peep out of them about any of these issues until after the season is long over.
Right.
But it's still something to wax poetic about until then. Dude, I got another email also about Joe Thornton. You know, obviously, this is a concern for Sharks fans. This one's from Mason. I was watching a Pens game over the weekend, and they were commenting on how Sid, the kid, has as many goals as assists for the first time in his career. Could you ever see Joe Thornton making a similar adjustment to his game? The biggest complaint is that he doesn't shoot enough. Could he make a Sid-like transformation?
Could he?
Yes.
Not will he?
Well, either one, I guess. If they're different.
I guess my initial reaction when I read this was no. Mm-hmm. But I guess that the key word is could. Could he? I don't know, dude. I mean, have you looked at the numbers? What's his highest goal total on any level of 20, organized hockey?
High 20s. I think he got 28 or 29 last year.
What about at the junior level?
Oh, I'm sure juniors, he tore it up. Didn't he play for Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, right?
Right.
I'm sure he had like a billion points or whatever these guys do when they rip it up in juniors. I don't see him making a Sid-like transformation. There's a big difference between Joe and Sid, and that's age. Sid's 22. He has, you know, he's still a young player. He has the ability or the inclination to change his game around. We see a lot of guys in NHL history change their game from an offensive game to a defensive game or change the way they play. Steve Yzerman, Mike Modano are names right. I think about.
I think that Mason has a point in a way. If you look back to Joe's early career, I'm surprised to see in 2000, 2001, 37 goals.
Hmm.
In 2002, 2003, 36 goals, mm-hmm. 65 assists, 101 points. Arguably his most complete season because he had 109 penalty minutes. You look back at this, these numbers, these 3 years in Boston of almost 4 straight 100 penalty minute years.
Yeah.
Where's that Joe?
Well, I guess he's turned into an elite passer, an elite playmaker. So that's...
I'd love to see the 100 penalty minute Joe back. I mean, we didn't see a lot of him because he was on the East Coast, but looking at these numbers, I mean, you don't get 100 minutes by, you know, being a pushover.
Right, right.
And, you know, this is a little bit more of a complete player, it looks like, whereas, you know, Joe, the knock on him is he's so severely one-dimensional that...
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he a star player? Yes. But do you feel like you know what he's going to do? I mean, this is going to be, you know, potentially his lowest goal and point output. You know, if he didn't come back,
mm-hmm.
you know, until the playoffs, right. this would be his lowest point output as a Shark. But
I just don't see it happening, to be honest with you. I just don't. I mean, they've given him crap privately, I'm sure, publicly, definitely, about him not shooting enough, and he still doesn't shoot a lot.
No,
but what are they gonna? What do they do? I mean, they put blinders on him so he can't see the other players on the ice. I don't know what can you do to make this guy shoot, make this guy try and score. I don't know what you can do.
Shock collar.
There you go. Yeah, like the ones with the dogs.
Yeah. There you go. He's coming down the ice. Joe Thornton, he's going. He looks at Danny Heatley. He's about, I'm going to shoot.
Exactly. Right, right.
That'd be awesome.
That would be pretty sweet.
Hey, totally unrelated. I had never seen a player get a penalty before for refusing to get into the faceoff circle, and that happened tonight.
Yeah.
Mike Ribeiro.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
What a tool.
Yeah.
Anyways, Joe's got 134 shots this year in 75 games. Last year in 82 games, he had 139 shots. To his credit, he has shot more per game.
Wow.
But not by much.
Not by a whole heck of a lot.
I mean, when you look at in 2007, 2008, he had almost 180 shots. I mean, he's really turtled up in that regard.
Yeah.
So, listen, let's not get too deep into this conversation now, but... It will warrant some discussion in the off season, depending on how the Sharks fare. 2-0 Calgary, by the way, with 10 minutes left.
There it is.
You know, there it is.
All right, dude. One last email. Danny emailed us again. I don't know if you remember, but he emailed us a few weeks back about how Ortmeier can sure take a hit. Sort of like Josh George's. And he says, this email this week is short and sweet. I don't know how he does it, but he's on another 2-week stretch of being in the hit top 10, and he gives us a YouTube link to Ortmeier being on the receiving end of a monster blast. I don't know what that says about Ortmeier. I honestly don't. I think it's more of a question of his size and inclination to get into the dirty areas than anything else.
I think it's a compliment in a way,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he's willing to do that. You know, you're not going to see Brian Campbell on most occasions, right. you know, be on the receiving end of stuff like that because he doesn't put himself in the position to do the dirty work. Although I'm sure his collarbone would tell me otherwise
now. Yeah, I'm sure it would.
But I don't mind that Ortmeier is how else is he going to get highlight time, man? This is his shot.
Unfortunately true.
Get hammered.
Yes. Unfortunately true. Unfortunately true. All right, dude. Let's see. What else we got here?
Playoff
picture. What were you going to say?
Who would you rather play? We had this discussion on the way home from the game against Colorado. Because it looks like, you know, if Phoenix does lose tonight, then there's still 4 points separating the Sharks and Phoenix. Then the Sharks would have to probably go... you know, 2-3
mm-hmm.
in their next 5, which actually could totally happen.
Yeah.
You know, because as I'm kind of looking ahead, you go, wow, you know, You know, they're probably going to lose in Calgary. They might lose in Colorado. They might lose to Phoenix, yeah. You know? I mean, right. So, wow. Yeah. The next game against Minnesota is really important, but between the two teams that are kind of lurking down there at the bottom, because my assumption is that Detroit is either going to be the five or they're going to be the six.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you rather, L.A. or Colorado in the first round?
Well, L.A.'s been really fading. They got a great performance from Jonathan Bernier last night and posted a shutout, but they've been really fading. Certainly, I mean, Colorado didn't look awesome. I mean, Craig Anderson was sort of the talk of the town in the early part of the season. Where did this guy come from? He's playing so great. He didn't look amazing in San Jose on Sunday.
No.
So I guess for me, I think I would still rather play Colorado. I mean, I'd rather not face Kopitar, Doughty, Ryan Smith, who's a shark killer. You know, I'd rather not face those guys, even if they're fading a little bit. I'll take my chances with some of the young kids in Colorado and hope we can rattle them a little bit. And hope
weaker goaltending
and hope they might be a St. Louis situation, right, as well. You know, St. Louis seemed to be so thrilled to make it to the playoffs, they promptly forgot to play once the playoffs began and got blown out of the building.
I don't like Colorado's D. I think that, you know, you've got old Adam Foote, you've got Lyles, who is completely unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
You have Hannon, who is steady but not flashy. You got Ruslan Soleil, who is Ruslan Soleil. I mean, mm-hmm. He's a bottom six, you know,
Yeah. Third
pairing guy.
Right.
You've got Clark, who is, I mean, whatever.
He's okay.
And then you've got another, you get the rookie Chimichanga. What's his name?
There's a
rookie guy they got back there who's actually having a pretty decent year. I don't know if I forgot. Oh, and Kyle Quincy.
Yeah, Kyle Quincy.
Who's having an okay year, but maybe not as good a year as they probably expected. So that's not a very scary D in front of a average or slightly above average goaltender. I'd say at Colorado too, for sure. Because LA's D is way better. I mean, we've even projected that their defense might be in six guys deep, could be stronger than ours.
Yeah. Do you mean Kyle Comiskey? Is that the D you couldn't remember?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, they've got Rob Scuderi, who, you know, he knows how to win a cup.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to be around. And Matt Green.
Yeah.
He knows how to make it all the way to the end, too. So with those guys in that locker room and with Doughty and Jack Johnson, no thanks.
Yeah.
I would rather play Colorado. I just have a feeling that's how it's going to end up, dude.
Colorado's the eight?
Colorado's the eight. We're going to be the one. And I think that the only thing that's going to change is that Detroit is going to flip with Nashville and that Nashville is going to be the six and Detroit and Phoenix will be the first round matchup.
Right, right.
It's possible. I mean, you know, it's possible that Chicago could end up passing us, I guess, you know, although they're still 3 points behind.
Right,
so
right.
I think the odds are definitely high that we're going to play LA or Colorado in the first round, dude.
Well, you know, we can't predict anything going forward for the Sharks because we saw them turn on a dime a week ago, you know, follow up a horrible outing in Edmonton with a good win in Minnesota. It's certainly possible that they could do the same thing again in Minnesota again and take the bad taste out of their mouth from this really disappointing
loss. It's an important game.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a really important game, and they need to win that game or their playoff seeding is in flux,
yeah,
because they're inviting Phoenix to try and pass them. And I mean, we've talked about it before. There's a big difference between being the one or the two and being the four.
Right.
Because if you're the four, I just have a feeling that's where your Detroit date comes in, dude. So
yeah,
you know what? Your prediction, your feeling.
Yeah. It might still come
true. If we slide, it still might come true because Phoenix could certainly pass us. It's not over. What's the tiebreaker? Wins?
Yeah, you win head to head.
Head to head wins?
We lose that against Phoenix.
Oh man, yeah. It is head to head wins, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what if we beat them? Is it a season series tie?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. Not good. That's not a position we want to be in.
No. Okay, let's assume it's a tie. Then it's overall wins, right? Well, we're tied in that too. We both have 47. Yikes.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
Let's just get it.
Yeah. Anyway, so we want to hear from you. Email us at questions at dudesonhockey.com. We're doing the Facebook thing. We're doing the Twitter thing.
Got the YouTube thing. Hey, that hamburgers video that's on our YouTube channel.
You got to see that.
Oh, man. It's so funny. Thanks to Jeremy. It's almost already at 300 views already.
Yeah, it's pretty
good. I don't know if some people are watching it multiple times like we are. Can't quite get enough of it.
I think half of those are me. I swear.
Coldplay.
I love the Coldplay part. and the burger is like dancing around the Coldplay video. Oh, man. That never gets old.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll repost it on the blog so people can find it.
You can find it. It's only way a little bit down on the page. Or you can search. Hopefully, Jeremy will rename it a little bit. I think it's just, it has just a generic title. But if you search, hopefully you should be able to find it if you.
Yeah, Jeremy, rename that. Rename. It's just called Wally. Movie right now. It should be called Hamburgers.
Yeah, like Wallen Hamburgers Remix or something. That's what I would name it.
Well, the comments on it are so funny. Yeah. Too, people are like, oh man, I was going to go home tonight and do a techno version of this myself. You know, this is exactly what I needed. You know, people are just loving it. Yeah. So we appreciate it. Jeremy, you're the best, man. That's awesome. You contribute more to the content of this show than we do.
I think that's actually true. I think it's true. All right. Well, that does it for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again next week. We have many interesting things planned in the coming weeks. So make sure to check us out again next week, same time, same place.
I hate Steve Otten.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.